An author based in Ashland is drawing praise for his latest novel. Victor Laudato is the creator of Edgar and Lucy, a lavish piece of fiction about a boy and his widowed mother. So you know Edgar and Lucy is not a Romeo and Juliet style story. But there are lots of other characters and situations to talk about, and the author is here to do just that. Victor Laudato is an Ashland resident part of the year, a Tucson resident the rest. His stories and essays have been published in a number of places. And his previous novel, Matilda Savage, won the Penn Center USA Award for Fiction. Victor is also a playwright and a poet. Victor Laudato, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
So friends pointed to a short fiction piece in a recent New Yorker, Herman Melville, Part One, and said, hey, doesn't that sound just like Ashland? And it turns out it is Ashland. It is your piece.
Yes. It was actually the first piece I've set in Ashland. I lived in Tucson for a number of years, and I still spend some time there. And it took me years before I started writing any stories about Tucson. I think a place just needs to sink in for a long time before I start writing about it. And I guess Ashland has finally reached that point.
It's entered your mind in that way.
Yes, it's part of my mythology now.
So as a Daniel Torday, I noticed, refers to you as Victor Laudato may be our bard of the sadness, humor, and confusion of loss. Is that a compliment?
Well, if you keep reading, I think it gets happier. But yeah, I mean, the book, I think, you know, I come from New Jersey, and I think we find humor in everything back in New Jersey. At least my family did. So yeah, the book is a lot about grief and loss, though there is a lot of humor in it. But this family has been through some very tough times, and I'm examining that very closely.
So the first thing I was struck by is how much dialogue there is in Edgar and Lucy from the start. And because you do write plays, too, I'm forced to ask if the form is always fixed when you start writing, or if you've had things that maybe started as a play and became a novel or vice versa.
You know, I never know early on exactly what I'm writing. For instance, with my first novel, Matilda Savage, it's first person in the voice of a child. So when I started that, it's my first novel, I thought it was a monologue. I thought it would turn into a play, but then it turned into a very, very long monologue. And I decided at a certain point that it was probably a novel. And with this book, yeah, it started, I always start whatever I'm writing with voice, you know, with Edgar and Lucy. I wrote the first chapter pretty quickly, and I just loved, I just immediately fell in love with the two voices of Edgar and Lucy, and didn't really have a plan for what the story was about, but just loved the voices so much and the music of their voices that I decided to stalk them for, you know, 9-10 years until I finished the book.
Edgar is an interesting character. He's 8 years old, is he?
Yeah, in the beginning of the book, eight.
And I don't know, I just can relate so much to the things that little boys do, the things they do and stare at and kick and stick their fingers in and all the kinds of things that eight-year-old boys do. Let's talk about the characters, Edgar and Lucy. Edgar is an eight-year-old boy we've established, and what's his relationship to Lucy?
Lucy is his mother, and she's problematic. You know, she has never really been forced to play the role of mother. Edgar's father died when he is a year old, There's sort of a mystery attached to that. You find out as the book goes on what exactly happened when Edgar was a year old. But his father's a mother, Florence, his grandmother, lives in the house, and she's, you know, a very fierce Italian grandmother, and she's taken on the role ever since Frank has died. So Lucy's never had to play that role. So I think someone mentioned once in a review that Lucy treats Edgar more like a peculiar roommate than a son. But Florence is the one who's the grandmother's playing the mothering role, which was natural for me because I grew up in a house with living with both my grandmothers, my Polish grandmother and my Italian grandmother in the same house. So the character of Florence is sort of like as if I'd taken my skinny Polish grandmother and stuffed her up inside the body of my larger Italian grandmother, made one person out of them.
Kind of a homecoming for you then in writing this book then.
It was, and sort of like an exorcism as well. you know, this book is not autobiographical in any way. The story is completely invented, but I would say some of the emotional dynamics in the book are very much drawn from my own sort of my own upbringing in a very hot-blooded working-class Italian-Polish family.
Was that a bit of a culture clash, having those two nationalities represented in one household?
No, not really. I mean, New Jersey is the, you know,
that's the culture.
Yeah, the flag of the melting pot flag flies high there. There were a number of Italian-Polish hookups in New Jersey. It seemed to be very uncommon.
Victor Lodato is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, an Ashland-based author with a new novel out called Edgar and Lucy. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Edgar seems to be very sharp for an eight-year-old in the sense that he seems very early on to be onto his mother,
mm-hmm.
knowing what her motives are and when she's not exactly being truthful with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you have to, when you write children in fiction, you have to there's this fine line between making them believable children, but also giving them a little bit more insight maybe than a child would have. But Edgar, I think Edgar is so perceptive because he's extremely shy. It's talked that he might be borderline autistic at one point, but he is a true observer. You know, because he doesn't interact often with other people, he's always watching. And so I think he notices things maybe more than children who are a little more social.
Lucy is dressing for a date as the book opens and Edgar's watching the process. How frequently is Lucy meeting up with men?
Fairly frequently. She's out every weekend, as Florence notes, unhappily, early on in the book. So Edgar's often in, you know, that's a moment that he has with her after she gets home from work where she cuts hair. Edgar's often watching her get dressed for an evening date, you know, knowing that this is the last he'll see of her. You know, he'll be sound asleep before she gets home, if she gets home.
Oh, really?
That night.
Okay. So Edgar lives with Lucy, his mother, and her mother-in-law, Florence. How much tension is there in the household, particularly given the fact that here she is out dating when this is her dead husband's mother who she's living with?
A great deal of tension. Florence is an old world Italian grandmother, and she feels pretty much that after Frank has died that Lucy should give up any hope of future romance, that she should hang up all her dresses, and basically stay at home and take care of Edgar. So there's a lot of tension between them, and Edgar's really trying. He doesn't really understand. There's a complicated history between Lucy and her mother-in-law, Florence, that Edgar doesn't fully understand because they've lied to him about really what happened as a child and what happened with Frank. So Edgar is in the same position as the reader in trying to sort of navigate and figure out, why are these two women so uncomfortable around each other?
And so does he sense that the story he's been told is perhaps not the true one about what happened to his father, Frank?
I think he doesn't at first, but then at some point a mysterious man named Conrad enters the family's life, and sort of he becomes sort of a father figure to Edgar, and Edgar starts asking more questions. And so at that point things start to open up in the book.
Grab the headphones. We have a call for you. Somebody who's actually read the book already. And
wow.
I'm not sure if this is John or Joan between Ashland and Talent, but welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Victor Lodato.
Yeah, it's Joan, mm-hmm. but I wanted to report that I went to Bloomsbury and heard Victor read the first chapter of his book, and I was really impressed with the writing and the whole whatever was coming through there, and I bought the book, and it has to be a month that it sat, because it's a big book, and I thought, this is too much for me. And by golly, I started reading after the first chapter, and I could not put that book down, and that hasn't happened to me for a long time. I was really impressed with everything, especially Lucy. And I think, Victor, you sort of touched a Lucy part of me that I was really very, very pleased with the book.
Oh, thank you for saying that. You know, I think Lucy is a hard character to love for a lot of people. She's a difficult mother. But, you know, one of the great things about fiction is that, you know, it's an opportunity to get to know people who are not like you. And by the end of the book, maybe you can actually care about them, maybe even love them. So I think it's a very civilizing thing. So thank you for saying that, because I love Lucy too. And I know some people it will take them a while to love her in the book.
Joan, thanks for telling us about reading the book and about how long it sat there before you picked it up. In the case of Lucy, I mean, she's got she's a young woman still. She's got a life she still wants to live. And I wonder if there were times when you went back in the editing process and went, okay, this makes her seem too negligent or too much like she's writing off Edgar's welfare.
You know, I try not, since I work from inside my characters, I tend not to be judging them too much. I think probably when I came out of it, I did worry at times that while Lucy is you know, she is negligent. But I always had Florence there taking care of Edgar. So I know it would be very difficult to read a story about, you know, an intensely neglected child. But Edgar has so much love from Florence that there is some protection there. But I also knew that I could tell when I was working on Lucy, even though she was being negligent, that I understood something about her that I couldn't define that was basically good. And it took me the course of the book for us both to see what that was in her.
You brought some papers in with you. Is there anything you'd like to read from Edgar and Lucy?
Well, since our caller spoke so nicely about the first part, I can read the first page of it.
Sure, please.
That's good.
Okay.
And just if I go on for too long, tell me to stop, because I have no idea how long this actually is.
Okay, Victor Lodato, reading from his book, Edgar and Lucy.
All the chapters are titled, this chapter is called Chanel Number 5, and I'll read just the first page and a half. Having a life meant having a story. Even at 8, Edgar knew this. What he didn't know was his own beginning. Newborn brains were mushy. If you wanted to know how your life had started, you had to get this information from other people. But what if these people were liars? I kept falling asleep, said Lucy. She was speaking of Edgar's birth. The boy liked this particular story, and so he made sure to roll his head in feigned boredom. Even with all the pain, I was like... Lucy opened her mouth and made a stupendous snore sound worthy of a cartoon character. It was nearly 3 a.m. when you decided to show your face. She tossed back her hair and turned to the mirror. And you didn't make a fuss either. Doctor said he'd never seen a kid care less about being born. Slip, slap, and back to sleep. And then they put me in the box, right? In the glass box? Yup. Because you were so small, and you didn't wake up for a week. Edgar didn't remember any of it. Size of a dinner roll, Lucy said with a slight shudder. And so white, I thought you were a friggin' ghost. The boy looked up, as his mother swiped a pink stick the color of cake frosting across her lips. Are you going out, Ma? Yes, I am, she said. Yes, I am. She had a habit of answering certain questions twice. The first time, full voice. Part of normal conversation. The second time, a more private matter, as if she were gauging the truth or untruth of what she said. She repeated words to see if she could believe them. The second round lacked conviction. To Edgar, the echo always seemed tainted by sadness.
Victor Lodato reading from his novel Edgar and Lucy, out on the sales shelves for about a month now. Victor does spend part of his time in Ashland, so that's why we have the chance to talk to him here in the studio. 800-838-3760. If you'd like to join the conversation, email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Some of those things are the way in which you can get to what an adult would tell a child to make them understand things like being in the nursery in the hospital. You put me in the glass box, that kind of stuff. That's fun.
Yeah, and it turns out, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we learned earlier in the book that Edgar and that Florence and Lucy have been telling Edgar that we learned is not true. And it's funny, you know, when I'm writing, I assume that it's true. And it takes me also, you know, I have to find out later, oh, well, hell, that's they were lying to me. They were lying to Edgar and they were lying to me. So there's a learning curve for me, too, about learning what the story is. Sometimes it really does feel like the characters know more than I do, and I have to wait for them to fill me in.
That's something that always fascinates me in talking to people who write fiction, though, is how much they know at the beginning of the process what will happen at the end of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder, I mean, it seems like the stories are as different as the authors themselves. So in this case, it sounds like you didn't really know where things were going. You set up a set of circumstances and situations and just let it play out, let them talk.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I never start with a plan or an agenda. Even at a certain point with this book, when the plot got rolling, I understood what was happening, and I had some ideas about what might happen. I resisted writing that part. I would take some notes on it, but then I would try to not write it until I arrived there with the characters so that I could be where they were emotionally before I wrote it. Plus, it usually, you know, you have some idea of where it's going to go, and it often doesn't go there exactly. And if you try to write that too soon, I think you play puppet master too much. And ideally, you want a novel to feel like life and to have an organic way of moving and growing. And so, and writing in this way without planning too much, I think helps keep that alive.
Interesting. So you really want them to be sort of like friends revealing themselves as time goes on rather than just you, the boss of them.
Exactly. And that's, you know, ideally what the reader wants. I think there's, you know, we read certain books and we just say, these don't sound like real people, you know, or we don't believe in them. And I think, you know, the great virtual reality of fiction is that you really have to believe these characters are exist in life. And so I'm hoping, you know, that was true for Edgar, how I worked with Edgar and Lucy, and I hope that comes through for the reader.
We have another call. Let's go to Polly in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Victor Lodato, the author of Edgar and Lucy.
Hello. I also, like Joan, went to Victor's reading at Bloomsbury and was completely astounded. And immediately got the book. Unlike Joan, I'm not a fast reader, so I intend to spend a long time with Victor and Lucy. But my comment that I'm fascinated by is how Victor's creative process works. And in unlike a lot of writers that plot their work out and have a foundation and know exactly where a story is going, I love the way he works where he sits with his characters in his story and he lets it come out of himself organically. And I just think that's fantastic. And watching that process is great. So you go, Victor.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Polly, thanks for the call. Very much appreciate that. Are there things that the characters do that surprise you over time? I mean, are there big changes in plot, circumstance, whatever, that make you go, wow, I didn't see that coming?
Yeah. There's to my first novel, Matilda Savage, was in the voice of a 12-year-old girl. Throughout the first half of the book, you think one thing is true about her sister who died a year before the book begins. And about halfway through the book, you learn something very different about what happened. And I learned it as well about halfway through the book. And I thought at a certain point, well, I could go back and clean this up and give more clues at the beginning that this wasn't true. I did that a little. But I want the reader to sort of the drama of my writing process of not knowing, I want that to translate into a similar kind of drama for the reading process. So yeah, there are definitely things that I learn, sometimes so shocking to me even, that I have to stop writing for a day because it freaks me out so much. You know, I think, wow, I did not see that coming. Or, you know, I had all the clues there, but I didn't add them up until a character says something. I think, oh, that was probably in the back of my mind for a while, but I absolutely didn't see it coming.
Kind of a where did that come from inside of me thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Victor Lodato is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His recent novel is Edgar and Lucy, on the shelves for about a month now. And there are some secrets in this house, and I wonder how fun that is as an author to create things that the characters hide from each other, but that we get to know as readers, and you as a writer, obviously.
I think it's very exciting. I mean, coming from the theater, working as a playwright, to me, one of the engines of fiction and good narrative are secrets and revelations. You know, you want to find a way to keep someone watching the play or to keep someone turning the pages, and a lot of that has to do with not knowing what's next, and not only knowing what the next event is, but really understanding who this character is. You know, if you start a book saying, this is who this person is, and they are that through the whole book, that's not so interesting to me. But the idea of layer by layer, sort of getting deeper into this person's psyche and soul and character is fascinating to me. You know, I think it's not only this suspense comes from not only what will happen next, but, you know, what will this character think next, you know?
There's some wonderful lines in here. Lucy says, before Frank, she hadn't been beautiful. It was a gift the bastard had given her. That's a hell of a way to say love transforms us.
Yeah. You know, Lucy as a Lucy Frank, who her husband who died when Edgar was a year old, was the great love of her life, and he abandoned her. And you find out in the story exactly what happened. But she has this complicated relationship to his ghost, in that she recognizes that he's the great lover of her life, but she's angry too. So I think that line that you just read maybe sort of sums that up, that he was the great love, but he was a bastard.
What does Edgar think of Lucy's dates? What does she think of the visitors, like Mr. S. the Butcher?
And oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, early on when she finds her mother dating a butcher, Edgar, and like, it says something like Edgar was astounded. It was like his mother was going out with a pig or a killer of pigs. He just couldn't believe it. Edgar's very sort of clean and proper, and the idea that a man who chops up meat for a living completely horrifies him. In fact, when he comes over in the first chapter, he meets Mr. S. downstairs, who's kind of sort of rumbling on the couch a little bit with Lucy. He immediately checks for any spots. He says he's checking if there's any spots of blood on his clothing. He couldn't find any, but he wasn't happy when the man approached him.
I love the description of ham-colored sheets at Mr. S.'s house. I was trying to imagine what exactly that would look like.
Well, it's a kind of odd pink, you know.
That's what I figured. So is there always a next thing in the works? Is there a next novel, a next play that you're working on?
Yeah, there's, I have some notes, you know, down for some new characters. I have no idea where it's going to go, but after the massive undertaking of this book, I think I might continue to work on a few short stories or even a play, both of which after this seem like it would be a vacation.
How long did it take to write all the, was it 500 pages of Victor Edgar and Lucy?
It took about 10 years. I started this book actually before my first novel, but just didn't feel brave enough or smart enough to write it, so I put it aside. So on and off between theater projects and my first novel, you know, it was nearly a 10-year process, but the last 5 years I was working full-time on this book.
Edgar and Lucy is the book. Victor Lodato, the author who lives in Ashland, thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much.